Amen. But that being said, we're on to the 15th chapter. I'm going to read one verse out of here, and we're going to begin the Bible study today. Romans 15, 7. We also have the screen up, so if you want to read along with us. 15:7. Nope. Yeah. 15:7. There you go. Romans 15:7. If you have it, say amen. Let's read. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Amen. We use that one verse today, and we're going to use it within the context of how it was written, but generally we're going to use it based upon this. It's a truth that God wants to extend to all of us as members of the body of Christ on how we receive ye one another. How we receive ye one another. And by just looking at the verse, there's some information that we can pull from the verse in and of itself. It says, wherefore. Now, anytime you see wherefore, what does it prompt us to do?
Ask the question.
What is it there for? And generally, if we want to know what it's there for, why it's where, what's where for, what do we do to find out?
Read the verses before.
Amen. So we go beyond that, or go to the verses previous to that, to really find out what, in fact, what is being made reference to. So I'm going to read verse 1. It says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Now I'm going to make some statements here today for time's sake, that some of you may understand to the extent that when we studied it before, just for the sake of where we're going as pertains to this singular topic of wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Because this is something that God wants us to be very, very aware of, how we receive ye one another. Reception is very important. How many of you know this term, this thing called first impressions, how important first impressions is? You ever see somebody for the first time? And for the first time, a lot of people, this is how we do it. First time I meet you, there's an impression that you give me that either I can cut you off forever or I can be a part of what you're about forever, just based upon how I received you the first time. You ever notice that with some people? You just get this bad vibe with some people. You know what I mean? And because you get that bad vibe, you kind of, okay, I don't want to have to deal with that person because I see what they're about, that type of a thing. Well, when we're looking at the Word of God, God begins to let us know that that's not how we deal with people. And that's not how we receive people. And it's not based upon who we used to be. It's based upon who we are in Christ. See, this is so important for you and I to understand how our reception to individuals are supposed to be changed based upon who we are in Christ versus who we are before we first trusted Christ. A lot of us know how we receive people. Has anybody got any instructions on how you receive people from either your parents or school or different things like that that had with extra biblical, was outside of scripture, that had nothing to do with your salvation? It probably was before you were saved, and how you dealt with mankind or how you dealt with individuals before you received salvation from different parts of towns or different financial groups or different things like that. You have had a way that you dealt with them based upon what somebody else had told you that wasn't the Word of God, and it wasn't even you when you were saved. It was that old man. And that's something we always want to be aware of. That old man and that old conversation and that old mindset. Why should you be aware of that old mindset? It's always there.
Trying to influence us.
Trying to influence us all the time. It's always there. So what's good or bad about that? It's corrupt. That's bad. But why is that not good? It doesn't give glory to God. Look, we live in our life. We're talking about Jesus Christ gave his life for us to give his life to us to do what? To live his life through us. So now, if I'm using the old mindset, is that Christ living through me? Am I receiving you as Christ would receive you? I'm receiving you how Leroy would have received you. I'm receiving you how Jeremy would have received you. You see, and then we have to look at it and understand that some of us may have had that, you know, some upbringing that it may have been wholesome. I remember something that was taught to me as a child. I remember they just told me that just treat people, you know,
Not so much how you want to be, you know, you do that with some, treat people how you want to be treated. But also treat people how they treat you. So if they're nice to you, you can be nice to them. Isn't that how the world divides itself? Isn't that how the world even treats each other?
Absolutely.
If I do you fine, if I do right by you, you do right by me and everybody good. But what if you don't do right by me? I ain't going to do right by you. So now look how it gauged my conduct. Because we all have some form of fashion of how we look at things. Chapter 15, verse 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Now, I'm going to tell you this in context. In context of what's being made reference to here, I want you to truly know and understand that I see this as a transitional passage. It's transitional because you have to understand that the circumcision, the individuals that are saved in the church, those that are still trying to maintain the calling wherewith they are called. In fact, we're going to go back. I'm going to have to do this a little backwards than I imagine because I want to share with you what we're saying here. Chapter 14. Go to 14 for me, friend 1. Romans 14 and 1. Because this is a continuation of chapter 14. See, it's still talking about that weak individual. But we want to identify who the passage is talking about as being weak, so we'll just at least understand the context. And then we're going to understand the overall view of how we actually receive one another. But I want to show you who it was talking about specifically when it was written. Because this particular dynamic, it's great that God used this as an example because it was what it was existing at the time. This isn't existing at the time, but there's something else that is existing right now that we use this same form of doctrine on. Hope we get that. You'll see what I'm talking about. We're going to share right now what was existing at this time that cannot be reduplicated. And a lot of people don't understand that during that transition where Israel is the mimicking or falling, when they're falling, that little clock is falling and diminishing, and they're getting weaker because their program with God is diminishing, and God is not giving them an additional faith, and they're standing there to a certain extent trying to figure out what God's doing, and Paul has all the information, and Paul is writing things, and they're trying to say, well, Paul is writing some things that are kind of hard to be understood because it's really not coming to them, it's coming to Paul, but God is giving Paul the information to instruct them as they're diminishing, they are weak. These individuals here, based upon the manner in which they were saved, some of them were observing the Sabbath day. Some of them had a code of a diet that was specific to what God told them they should eat. And because they were called and circumcision, they couldn't change and say, okay, now I'm body Christ. I can eat anything I want. I'm just looking to help God said every man to do what? Amen. Abide in the calling wherewith ye were called. If you were called in circumcision, you remain in circumcision. But guess what? All the circumcision just didn't leave and go away and fall off the face of the earth. Guess what they were doing historically or chronologically? Amen. They were still living on the earth at the same time as the increase of the body of Christ. So you have these two different segments in the church that were actually dealing with God's word at that particular time. That's very crucial and important for you and I to understand. That's my phone.
We'll get that in a moment.
But you see that we have that same diminishing of that those group of individuals at the time the body of Christ is increasing that we definitely need to always be aware of.
And if we're aware of that, get my phone and turn it off, please. If we are aware of that, it will cause us to greater understand some things that are going on here. So let's look at Romans the 14th chapter. And our topic today is wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. So in Romans 14, 1 says, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but what? Now, even here, when it's talking about receiving one another, it says these individuals are to be received, but not to doubtful disputations. It's not a situation whereas.
You got it?
Yeah, it's not a situation that you would receive this individual just for the sake of argument. And believe me, there was a lot of things that they could have a conflict about at that particular time because it's going on to mention a few of them. One person saw it this way, and another person saw it this way. You're saying you're of God, I'm saying I'm of God, but why is God doing it that way, and over here God is doing it the other way? I'm really of God, yes, I'm really of God too, but why are you doing it like that, but I'm doing it like this? Oh, you see what I'm saying? This is happening on the earth at the same time. We can't say that today.
I've seen a brother use that particular passage to try to justify why the seventh day Adventists are right in doing what they do when they try to observe the Sabbath day and put people back under the law. Because it's just the way they're interpreting the word of God. God is honoring them too. If somebody's trying to put you on the Sabbath day and put you back under the law, are they doing it unto God today? Absolutely not. If somebody back here was honoring the Sabbath day and eating certain meats, were they doing it unto God? Absolutely, because that chronologically, that's what they were doing when this particular grace of God began to manifold itself. And God said, you can't just hop over here into full information of what Paul is doing, because your circumcision, your eventually just diminish. And the diminishing is something that is undertaught in great circles. The fact that God's doing something with a group of individuals that they had to actually diminish off of the scene, so that you couldn't see him anymore, while God is doing something that he's increasing and giving full revelation all the way to the point we have the revelation today. You know, the revelation was fulfilled in time past, but we interpret what's going on as it pertains to Paul's message different than how it was being interpreted right here, because it was being transitioned. Progressive revelation even in Pauline epistles. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak does what? What is that? Are we doing that today? Do we have this distinction in the body of Christ today? You eat all things, you eat just herbs. No. What was they doing it back then? Was God honoring it back then? So you have a dynamic you have to understand that took place in the early church that doesn't take place today. And in spite of that, God is telling them to receive ye one another. It was important that they begin to understand what was going on, because they needed to know how to receive each individual that they were dealing with. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another one who is what? Eateth what? Now this is how we find out who we're talking about. The weak brother, what does he eat? If we're talking about weak, we're going to contrast it with strong just for the sake of finding the better word. Because the revelation is coming to him. He eateth herbs, the weak, right? And the strong eateth all things. Both in the body. Both of these in the body. Let's go a little further here. Let not him that eateth despise him which eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him which eateth, for God has what? God has received them. So in other words, what is going on back here? Both of these individuals are received of God, even though they are doing two totally different things. This is something that we want to be always able to know, because when people go back to these verses, you need to know exactly what was happening and how some of these things don't transition over. However, our reception to one another still remains the same. And that's what we're going to get into. I'm going to read a few more dynamics out here, then we're going to get back to what we're doing. But we just want to show the context, because we took it out of this passage, we want to show the context of which it was written, so we'll have a better understanding of how we transcended into what we're doing today. Because you notice in Pauline epistles, sometimes it doesn't say stop doing the thing, you just have to know that some things fall off. You remember we were talking about that? Do we still water baptize today? Do we water baptize today? Where does it say stop water baptizing? And we have to understand that. Some people say, Paul says that I'm glad that I baptized none of you. Paul says that I'm glad that I baptized none of you. Does it say that? Yeah. But does that mean stop baptizing? Stop water baptizing? That doesn't mean it, but we see that water baptism was put to the side. When he was a child, he thought of the child, he understood the child. He what? Spake as a child, but when he became a man, what did he do? Some of those things were put away. In the beginning of his ministry, he was water baptism. When he became a man, he put away water baptism. I don't know when he did it, why he did it, but he's put it away. Now I know why he did it. So some things you'll see that have been put away. This particular identity thing, as it pertains to those who perceive one day above another and those who perceive things every day alike, that has been done away with. Why has it been done away with? Because those individuals have diminished. They're no longer on the scene. So that's something that we want to be very careful of there. So that's what we're going to share about that. You kind of get what I'm saying there? Okay, so that's what we're dealing with as it pertains to this. Now let's deal with the topic at hand, which is verse 7. Romans 15, verse 7. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now this is something important. If I'm going to be, if it's talking about me doing something based upon how I've been received, let's first verify that. Turn to Colossians 2. Let's verify that we've been received first. Because we have to make sure that we are the individuals that the text is making a reference to. Sometimes people don't verify that they're even the one. There's a verse in Romans that says, it's talking about all things work together for good for them that love the Lord, for them who are the cause according to his purpose. Does that work for everybody? Who does it work for? Those that are in Christ. We know that we have to identify. How do I apply to that? I know that I love God because I am the cause according to his purpose, because I did trust the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's what qualifies me for that. But look at Colossians 2:6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, what? So this is making a reference of what have we done? We have received Christ Jesus the Lord, and now our instruction is to do what? Walking in him. This is our identity. We have to understand, because I have received Christ Jesus the Lord, now my instruction is to walk in Christ Jesus the Lord. I'm not walking in Leroy. This is something we talk about. It's on the page every day, but we have to know that when God's word is manifesting or bringing stuff into our attention, it's very important that we say it like God says it. He's saying, walk ye in him. That's what my extension is going to be, my identity that I have in Christ. Turn to Ephesians 1. So I have received Christ. I've accepted Christ. I've received Christ. And that's something we want to see. I before he says that to speak. I have it. Received Christ, and now we want to see I've accepted Christ, and those are terms are synonymous. We'll see that. But now look at Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us what? Accepted in the beloved. So we see that we have been received of God. We've been made accepted where? We have to understand that our acceptance, the way that God received us, is because we are in Christ. That's where our acceptance is at. And that verifies this particular truth that we're trying to go forth with. And we just laying the groundwork for it, because when we get into rolling with what has been manifest through this truth, we're going to definitely see that we're going to see some people are going to have to line up with what the Word of God says as it pertains to receiving people. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also receives us to the glory of God. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Now, when you were accepted in the beloved, were you doing everything that was right in the sight of God? However, God saw fit to take all of your reproaches and put them on Jesus Christ. You know what your reproaches is?
Everything.
That basically works to everything. There's nothing. Everything about us was reproachable. So in other words, the reproach is that thing that will keep you separated from somebody. So God took everything that will keep us reproachable or keep us separated from somebody, that we wouldn't have fellowship with somebody, that somebody wouldn't receive us. God took all of that and he put it on Jesus Christ. So now when God put everything that was wrong about us on Jesus Christ, he gave, he did what was right and gave, he gave us what was right in Jesus Christ so that he would receive us unto himself. So this is how the reception took place. God took our reproach, put it on Jesus Christ, gave us that which is good, and now God receives us based upon what Christ has given us. That's a principle we all know. That's the transfer. He who knew no sin was made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. So now we see exactly what God manifested in order to speak to make us accepted before him. Turn to Genesis. Genesis 4. We've been accepted in the beloved. And I'm just dealing with this term accepted for a moment. Genesis 4. Because we want to make sure we're on the same page as it pertains to all throughout history. See that God has been accepting individuals based upon something in our particular lifetime, in our particular dispensation, in our gospel. He accepts us because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. In time past, this is what the acceptance was based upon. Look at this. Or whether or not God would receive this individual. Look what he says here. Verse 7. For time's sake, we'll just use the one verse, Genesis 4, 7. He's talking to who? Cain, you know, Cain and Abel offered sacrifices unto God, correct? Now, Cain comes up to God with a sacrifice that isn't sufficient. So he goes up. I'll actually start at verse 4. And Abel, he also brought the first things of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel, to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance did what? Yeah. Fail. So now, this is what his acceptance would be based upon. Offering the proper sacrifice. What did the proper sacrifice represent?
Shedding blood.
The shedding of blood. That's perfect. See, that thing you have to understand, that people put a lot of stock in the sacrifice, but you have to recognize that the sacrifice was pointing to the cross. It was the extension of what God would do for you. And if you want to tap into what God would do in the future, you'd have to do what pointed to what God would do in the future. And that was that sacrifice. We get that? Because a lot of people, I know this gentleman who says that God saves everybody at all times just based upon faith in him. Faith in the Redeemer, he says. Just faith in the Redeemer. Let me ask you how good faith in the Redeemer would do if you would not offer the sacrifice that was requested by God. How good would that faith in the Redeemer do? You understand what I'm saying? See, God told them to do something. You can say you have all the faith in the world, but back then, if your faith had no works to go along with it, that faith would be dead. So back then, they had to understand that, yeah, I can say I have faith, but I also have to offer this sacrifice that points at the finished work that Jesus Christ would do in the future. So verse 7 of Genesis 4 says, if thou dost well, see, doing something. What does he have to do in this case? Offer a sacrifice. Shall thou not be what? Accepted. It's about acceptance. This is being accepted before God. And this is the extension about the contrast in time past. They had to do something to be accepted before God. Today, Jesus Christ has done something for you and I to be accepted before God. And this is what we want to understand, that we had to get that acceptance. So I'll finish out here. And if thou dost well, and if thou dost not well, then lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over thee. So if he offered the perfect sacrifice, he had been accepted. If he didn't offer the perfect sacrifice, what was going to still be the problem?
Sin.
God, that reproach, Jesus Christ took the sin issue out of our way so that we could have that reception or be received of God. So understand that the reason we're received of God is because of what Jesus Christ did. So now we're getting this pumped up. We're getting to understand that we're received of God, not because of any works that we can go back to our text, our original text, Romans 15:7. We'll see that everything that we've done is based upon what God has done for you and I, what He's done for you and I, the finished work of Jesus Christ. We've been received because of what He's received. That perfect sacrifice that He's done is definitely in. Oh, man, I wanted to show you something here. Let me show you something. In fact, turn back to Genesis 4 and 7. Genesis 4 and 7. I want to share something which, as it pertains to acceptance.
Now scroll all the way, keep scrolling until it goes to ASV. Just keep scrolling up, all the way, keep scrolling. I think I got both of them on here. I might have took it off. Okay, keep going. Now go to the verse in ASV. Keep scrolling.
To the same verse, Genesis 4 and 7.
Stop. Genesis 4 and 7. You have it in your Bibles? You have it in your Bibles what Genesis 4 and 7 says? This is important because, see, this is why the King James Version, now you're not trying to preach, but every time I see an occurrence like this, I just want to share it with you. You have to understand that our acceptance before God, realizing that we are accepted or received before God, is our springboard to why we receive others. And it's always been that way. And when you don't recognize that you're accepted and God receives you, you're accepted before God, if something is hampering that truth, what God's purpose is won't work in your life. If something is saying other than you're accepted before God, you're all right, but you're really not. There's some things you have to do. If it's giving you some false information as it pertains to your acceptance, it's not what the Word of God says. Why are we accepted?
Because we're accepting
His love. So anything that points to the cross, has something to do with the cross, if it doesn't accomplish full acceptance, it takes away from the cross works. In this case, in Genesis 4, His offering pointed to the cross works. So once God said, if you offer that sacrifice, what He says over here in Genesis 4 and 7, if thou dost well, shall not thou be accepted. And that's the case. What does it say here? Is that the same thing?
Absolutely not.
You have to see what we're saying here. See, this is the American Standard Version. That's not what we preach, but it's a sidebar. The truth about how God has taken our sin and gave us His righteousness for the purpose of accepting or receiving us is paramount to our understanding. And anything that comes up against that truth should be totally dispelled. And you have to understand that. So now if you're having a Bible study with somebody and you're trying to teach them the contrast of why it's so important for us to be accepted when we attach ourselves to that cross, if you don't see that, this Bible is not going to teach it to you. The King James doesn't falter from that one time.
I'm not a big proponent of all that manuscript evidence and all that section. That's one thing. That's fine. If they can do that, that's fine. The only reason I stand for King James only, because it's the only one that supports my salvation from A to Z and never falters.
You see, my attachment to it is spiritual. Because I can't, if I'm going to preach salvation as I know it because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, the only one that is going to maintain that all the way from the beginning to the end is the King James Version. And that's why I contrast it, so you'll see that when that comes up. That's saying something that has nothing to do with the truth that's trying to be established.
I spent enough time here. Let's go a little further. We can go back to Romans 15:7.
So we compare that and we begin to understand that is in fact the truth there. That is in fact what has happened. If we receive Christ, we should receive others with the mind of Christ. How many of you believe that? 1 Corinthians 2:16. If we receive Christ, we should receive others with the mind of Christ. And that's what we've been making reference to here. When we receive others, we have to understand that my reception or receiving you or acceptance upon you is not based upon the old man. We were talking about that, but it's based upon the mind of Christ. And we'll turn here very briefly. It's 1 Corinthians 2:16.
1 Corinthians 2:16, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" But we have what? The mind of Christ. Now, you have to understand, it's making a reference to us having the mind of Christ. The moment you trust in the fact that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose on the third day, guess what mind you get? But guess how beneficial it is at that point as it pertains to your walk?
Not very much.
Not very much. Why not?
You haven't renewed your mind by
reading
your word.
Amen. So now you have the mind of Christ here. I'm writing this a little, but I want you to see the difference. I'm going to give you a gauge. But you also have that old mind. Right? Now, we had a gauge here to 100 from 0. That old mindset will be about there, right? But that's all you're filled with. How about this mind of Christ that you just acquired?
It's
zero. He's pretty much at zero. Well, I give him one because he believed the gospel. Okay? So he's down here a little bit. He has one. Why isn't he as strong as him? Because he hasn't come to the... See, he's saved. But that's why God says he doesn't stop that it's his will that every man be saved, but he also wants them to come into the knowledge of the truth. So in order to fill this up so that I can receive you and respond to you in a manner that Christ would, I have to begin to put on that mindset. We see what we're doing there? Turn Ephesians 4. I hope this helps somebody. It definitely helped me. Ephesians 4. We're talking about receiving people. I'm literally talking about somebody coming to the room and how I receive them for the first time. I've never known you ever in my life. And you, that now our reception is one to another as brothers and sisters in Christ. This is talking about the church. He didn't go up. I'm going to share with you, what is our reception to individuals that I say? What is it?
Especially,
so we're still doing good to them. But the idea is that we have a message for them. We pursue peace with them. The fruit of spirit is peace. But our main issue with a non-believer is that we're ministering to reconciliation. Amen. Because we have to understand, we can take their reproach. You understand? We can take their reproach, the fact that they're going to be contrary. But if they don't have the mind of Christ or aren't spiritual led, how far is that going to go? So before we have a fellowship or some type of intimate contact with that person, we want to get them saved. As it pertains to, you know, dealing with them on a daily basis and in our reception to them as it, you know, see. But this particular passage talking about receive ye one another is making a reference to individuals that are saved. Yes. Talking to believers. Yes. Receive ye one another. Ephesians 4, we're going to start at verse 22. Look what it says here. That you put off the former, that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is what? Somebody said it, corrupt with deceitful lust. See, this old man, he has a whole lot of corrupt and deceitful lust. Do you think that would be influential if I'm receiving you based upon my corruptness and my deceitful lust? But I'm a child of God. I'm a believer. But I'm still operating on this deceitful lust. And this corruptness. Because I haven't renewed my mind, so when I receive you and when I see you for the first time, this is how I'm responding to you. But I'm a believer. Is that how God wants me to receive you?
No.
So we have to understand that. We have to understand that this old man is based upon the old way that people told us to receive other individuals. Sometimes it may seem to have been good. I know you're going to, you should be going in the journals of your mind. Who taught you how to receive people? Your parents, in most cases.
Your schools, in a lot of cases. Your churches, hopefully, if they receive the sound doctrine, if they receive the sound doctrine, guess what? Put that over here. Put it over here. I know it was in church and it was religious and it was churchy, but if it's not sound doctrine, it goes right over here because it was corrupt communication. Which can be worse. How are you receiving people? Now, this is a personal check. You have to understand, have I transformed my mind as it pertains to my reception of others, or am I still receiving individuals based upon my old mindset? I'm going to share with you something that I heard at the conference. A gentleman came up to me and he said, "How you doing?" I thought, "Praise the Lord, Mama, how you doing?" Now, he was telling me about his friend. It's important why you have to be careful. You have to listen to everything that somebody says. He told me that the individual that he knew said, "I would never listen to a black preacher." He said, "You know why?" He said, "Because all of them are Democrats." He said, "All of them are Democrats." And you know what? If they're a Democrat, that means that they don't believe in, they believe in that abortion. They believe in this distribution of wealth. They believe in this and they believe in that. It does nothing to all it says. And then you know what he did? Then he went on to explain to me what he meant. You know what his question to me next was?
This gonna hold you right here.
You see, you're trying to build up, right? Are you a Democrat? Not. Brother, I let him know that we don't judge things about the love of will. He didn't run the word of God. He got, you know what he told me? Are you a Democrat? You see what I'm saying? See, we have to realize that our reception, how we receive that person, person is important. So now you not only connected me with your friend, but you also gave me the idea that you were coming from because you were, I don't know if you're going to take the information and go back to him. He's a Republican. Or he's a Democrat. Or what are you doing with that information? But what I'm saying is that reception, how it was received, I could have dropped it right there. That could have influenced how I dealt with the situation. But if I thought that to be reproachable, could that have been reproachable?
Romans 15, I'm sorry. Romans 15, our original text. We don't come back to Ephesians. Romans 15. "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee did" what? I hope you get what that means.
What I do and what you and I need to do as it pertains to brethren especially is to realize when something is said that can be interpreted as reproachable, we need to take that reproach for Christ's sake. And not to be upset about it. And I hope I'm not standing up here with you to think I'm saying it in the spirit that I was upset about it. I'm saying it to inform you that is not how we ought to be. That should never have came into the picture. You understand what I'm saying? Because we're receiving each other in Christ. Turn to Galatians.
Galatians 3, very familiar verse, right?
Did you see that as an online question? From
See, unlearned question is really the humility of the individual to answer the question to really say it's unlearned. I really don't know the answer. The foolish question, however, mm-hmm. I would place it in the category of that. Because it has absolutely nothing to do with what we should be talking about. It's outside of what God is doing. It's outside of wisdom. It won't, the end thereof is not going to accomplish anything.
It can lead into other detrimental things, but it won't accomplish
anything that's good.
Galatians 3, verse 27 and 28.
Look what it says here.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, is that water? How did you get baptized into Christ? What did you do? What did you believe?
There's a lot of different stuff. We all on the same page here.
We believe that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose on the third day according to the scriptures. The moment we believe that, for as many of us as have put on, have been baptized into Christ, we have put on Christ. All of us. If you're a believer, all I see in this room is Christ. That's where my spiritual eyes should be. And why should I be looking out of my spiritual eyes, so to speak? Amen, because I'm trying to be this new man here. If I look out of these eyes, I'm going to say anything. I'm going to tell on myself if I talk to somebody spiritual. But I should be looked so. I should see everybody in Christ. And look at it goes on to define and give you more interpretation of the details about that. There is neither what? Jew nor Greek. Let's stop there. The ethnic racial issue should be abolished. It should be dealt with if an individual is in Christ. We have to get that. That's gone. That's been done away with Christ. My distinction as it pertains to my flesh is a done deal. I identify with those that have been put in Christ. There are only two different types of people on the earth today. Saved and unsaved. Believers and non-believers. Same two groups. You see what I'm saying? However you want to phrase it. But if you're still looking at individuals based upon ethnic and racial situations, you have to know that you're still dealing with this particular deceitful, lust, and corrupting ass way of looking, way of seeing, doing it. We see that? So now we go on. The next verse right here. Not even verses, next area. Nor Greek, there is neither what? Bond nor free. Now, what do you think that's talking about? Back then, it had a very specific dynamic. Slaves or not, those that were free. And we could put that in our history and even see there. And back then, we can go to Philemon and see that it definitely had some direct implications. But slavery isn't a big thing today, so how would we actually put that in? Well, you have to understand that generally back in the time where slaves were here, it was because a person owed a debt. And I didn't have the money to pay you, so I'd have to be bond or your slave until I paid that off. You know what I mean? Until my debt was paid off. So it really was a matter of almost finances. Someone who had the finances versus the individual that didn't have. It's almost classism. You see what I'm saying? So now, if we understand and are able to place these things in the positions that they ought to be in, we should recognize that in Christ there is no classism. There's no distinction based upon what you have and what you don't have. What you're going to get and what you're not going to get. There's no distinction in Christ. And I don't look at you or judge you based upon you having this or not having that. All of us have to look at each other from one vantage point, and that's in Christ. Last but not least here. There is neither male nor female. This is a big one here. This is a big one. So many times and so many instances, you see a separation of how people respond to people based on gender. Whether they are male or whether they are female. How important do you think that is as it pertains to reception of somebody? That can get real out of hand. You got some men in the church that greet all the women but don't say nothing to the men. You see what I'm saying here? You have some women that greet all the men but don't say anything to the women. Because this is something that they see. They're still looking at the dynamic of men and women as it pertains to relationship and not as it pertains to being in Christ. All you see and all you should see is that individual being in Christ. Very important, very crucial
situation that we all should recognize and understand. Turn back to Ephesians. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4:22. That you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed where? Spirit of your mind. This is where God wants us to renew ourselves as it pertains to receiving individuals. God wants you to start filling this up. How come the ways we can fill this up? That's it. Rightly divided. How many people read the Word of God and don't get any spiritual benefit from it? I know a lot of people who do what they do, they do that, do the Bible in a year. How many of you think that really, in most cases, is really getting some type of spiritual benefit? It's like a novel when you try to read through it and blur through it in record time. You're not grabbing any spiritual significance or spiritual wisdom from doing just reading the Bible like it's a regular old novel or a regular old secular book. You can't even retain that information to reflect back on it when you need it spiritually if that's how you approach it. So when we talk about getting this information so the mind of Christ will become a part of what we're doing, we're talking about being renewed in the spirit of our mind. And the reason we need to be renewed is because this old mindset is contrary to who God wants us to be and how He wants us to respond and react to one another. We talk about this thing of greetings. I'll read some more of this here. Last one. And that... Okay. Now we're going low. This is that. We might be able to stretch it out. And that you put on the new man, which is after God, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, He gets to let us know some things. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members, what? One of another. See, this is the approach that God wants us to have, is that you are all members one of another. There's no disunity in the body. And all of those other elements that came as far as the racial and the ethnic and the classism and the sexism, all of those things are dynamics that the old man made a distinction to cause separation in the body. And we need to identify it every time it comes forth as something that is meant to try to cause some type of divisiveness. But that is not how God would have us to operate today. So I'm going to share with you some of the ways that the Bible talks about greeting. Turn to Romans 16. When you're talking about receiving someone, if you're physically talking about receiving somebody for the first time, receiving them. Romans 16:3. Now this is the letter Paul writes in Romans 16, chapter 3rd verse. Look what he says here. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ. He uses the term greet. Verse 6. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Now, he's writing a letter, but what is he actually telling them to do? To greet them, right? Verse 8. No, in fact, verse 7. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners who of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. Verse 8. Greet Amphias, my beloved in the Lord. Verse 9, salute Urban, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. You know what all these greetings and salutes mean? That means if I come into a place and all these people that he's making a reference to just happen to be there, am I just going to act like I don't see him? Or just be cumbersome, act like I'm doing something else and act like they have absolutely no bearing on my purpose of being here and it's not really something that I need to be concerning myself with? It says to greet them. Greeting is to make it is to go out of your way to do some form of cordiality or some type of a term of endearment or something to let people know about your presence. I mean, to show people that you're excited about or happy about their presence. You can go into local restaurants and they give you a warmer greeting than some of the churches that you might be a part of.
or some of the church folks that you might know, or some of the believers, to be more specific. I'm going to a restaurant, this Mexican restaurant that I like to go to. My granddaughter always sends me to go get Home Record Jr. She loves Home Record Jr. As soon as you go in there, you know what they say?
Let me know what I'm talking about already.
Welcome to Moe's! Welcome to Moe's! I mean, as soon as you hit the door, they don't know you from Adam, but they show some sense of saluting, some sense of greeting you to let you know that you're welcome, you're invited here, and why shouldn't it? It's a business that's soliciting your money. So when you come in, why shouldn't they be excited that you came? Welcome to Moe's! Welcome to Moe's! Oh, in harmony. You'll get somebody coming to church and people holding their head down so I won't have to look at you and speak to you. Really? Ought it be that way?
No.
See, our personalities, listen, I understand that everybody's personality is not outgoing to want to say hello and all that. Because I'm telling you, I don't know who you think what I really am, but I'm really the one who can just do without. I mean, the old me. That's, I can just do, I can self-contain. You know what I mean? I'm enough, I thought. But what you have to realize is that it's not about you. You're a representative or an ambassador for Christ. So now my reception is based upon who I am in Christ and not based upon who I used to be. So now I build myself up to go out the way. I'm like, whoa, brother, how you doing today? Man, good to see you. Tell me how you're doing. Praise God, I'm really happy to see you. You're a part of the body. Me and you guys have a special connection that's going to last for eternity. If people of my own family are not going to be with you, I'm going to be with you for eternity. Why am I not excited about it? Do you see what I'm saying? Sister right here. Man, you're from a shop in that too. He was you know, we don't show up on Facebook. I figured, see?
Yeah.
I mean, he was sharp. Sharp as a tack. I'm excited, glad, it's good to rejoice with the people that's rejoicing. Especially when they're in the household of the faith. I'm not going to just walk by there like, oh, okay.
She's here today. I'm not going
to. No, I love her. Hey, she brought my little man. What's going on? He's getting big and everything. I mean, when she's pregnant with him, it's a joy to know that they, you know what I mean, that they're still a part of him, that they're still here, and when they come, we should salute and greet each other in that manner, because it's something that we should be joyous about. When you greet and salute, it's not a, hi, how you doing? And then it goes on to say, Titus 3:15. Now, we can't do this today in this particular world. In a way, you can, but you got to be careful who you do it with. Somebody already know it. This is how endearment, how endearing it became. Well, maybe I got the wrong one. That's just talking about salute and greet them. But you know what I'm talking about, right? Okay. Amen. What is it? 2 Corinthians 13:12, maybe? 2 Corinthians 13:12. I just want to show that for our hearing. See that for our hearing here. 2 Corinthians 13:12. Is that it?
Yeah.
Look what it says there. Somebody excited here. Finally, brother, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with what? Don't think they're going around slobbing each other down or anything like that. But it's about the Lord. Hey, friends, you're not really kidding, but you're like, to a sister, you know what I mean? That's where the point where it could, you know, could manifest itself and it not be off kilter because the Word of God condones it. That's how happy and intense it could be where it actually transforms into our person that we transfer that to each other. So don't think when I run up to you and give you that little hug and stuff, it's not all about who I used to be. You know, I see Rondell, you know, it's just customary that when we see each other, like, hey, what's going on with that's one thing. You know, that's one thing, and that could be tied into this. But now when I see Rondell, it's not all about that. It's about, man, praise God, you my brother in Christ, but I see Jeremy. I'm not trying to shame my cousin, I'm not going to go up to him and be like, man, this Jeremy, how you doing, my brother? I love you, man. You see what I'm saying? He has to know and recognize that. The reason I didn't go back to Mike is just Mark is just y'all a little too far back right now because I'm already out of breath. It's Scott, it's Steve, because I feel the same about all of you. But what I'm saying is that we have to begin to take on Christ in everything, especially first impressions. And you can't change your first impression if you don't change your mind. I said a lot to say a little, but this is what I'm trying to get at today. Receive ye one another as God for Christ's sake. It doesn't say it's God. Receive ye one another as Christ also received you to the glory of God. Your first impressions, your words, and your deeds, what comes out of your mouth, your actions, it all reflects who you are in Christ. Don't let down your guard as it pertains to that old man and let him be a reflection of who you are. A good way that we're going to have opportunity to demonstrate this truth is when we have our picnic the first week of August. There's going to be people coming from different various places that we'll have that opportunity to demonstrate how joyous we are that somebody cares enough about the Word of God to travel over a distance to come fellowship with the church, the group of believers called Grace Family Bible Church. And we don't want to be that group that's cold, that's staying contained within ourselves, that's staying contained within that old mindset. We want to project the joy and happiness that's found in the Lord based upon this new man, this new person that we've transformed into being, or are being transformed into. That's what we want to reflect to this world and to each other, to the glory and the grace of God. Any comments or questions?
Not only have to read the verses, you have to believe them.
Amen. It's not enough. That's that reading that Bible in a year. They can read through it, but they have no spiritual attachment to the Word, because they're just reading it as a novel. So belief doesn't even come into question. Go ahead, brother.
You see how contrary the world thinking is to the mind of Christ.
Amen.
And how powerful that puts hold on some people, you know. And to realize that, and go back to Genesis, Adam and Eve. Every one of us is descended from them.
Amen.
God gave Adam and Eve the genetic capability to produce offspring that look totally different.
Amen.
And it proves to me that God loves variety. You guys are going to one kind of bird, one kind of bird.
Absolutely.
But He created those things because He enjoys variety. And as human beings, to understand the doctrine of grace of God, that He is not a respected person.
Amen.
And to have someone speak that way, it's kind of sad. It's kind
absolutely.
Of, you know, because there are some people that feel that way,
mm-hmm.
because the worldly mindset, you saw on the TV or whatever, there are people on there who are promoting division, actually, just to be on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And then to get space time, to get the media.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Absolutely.
And the doctrine of Christ is not far away.
Amen. Amen. And if anybody is preaching any type of unity other than the unity that comes in Christ, it's a far sense of unity.
Yeah.
Don't even accept that. Because people want to bystep what God is doing through Christ and try to form out. Well, we should all just, can't we all get along? No, we can't get along. We're sinners. Sinners cause a division and waves of division between us. And even when we favor getting along, we don't have the basis to get along because we don't have the foundation to get along. The only foundation that we can get along in is the foundation that is Christ. We have to be placed into Christ so that we have that unity. That's where we have true fellowship with one another that pleases God. They tried to get along at the Tower of Babel, and they were working on it. But they used their unity to be rebellious against God. You see that? So it can't be done outside of Christ. The only place we can exemplify or demonstrate our unity is in Christ, that God is honored in it. Go ahead.
It's so important for us to always remember and study, you know, even on our in our alone time, the old mind and the mind of Christ. And even if you should say, my God, the person that approached you and was talking about the Democrat and stuff, I had a lot of members in the body of Christ, black and white, you know, that talk about politics, and that'd be like the main conversation.
Amen.
And stuff. And, you know, that's just like real dangerous, you know, right here. And I send a I mean, I be careful, and I'm trying to be careful in our area, you know, for the Protestants, and that is my opinion.
Anyway.
I always try to care less, but I'm just feeling like I really don't try to focus on that.
Amen.
But they're just going back to that old mind and the mind of Christ. It's like, which one is more important? You know, you get my views across with the, all of, you know, like these, you know, the different things that on TV, this, that, or whatever, in the world news, or the mind of Christ. There's going to be a conversation about it. Bring it back to the mind of Christ, or bring it back to the Word of God, and, you know, try to have a discussion there.
Absolutely.
Why not look to that?
That's right. That's right. I mean, there's so many things we can find to be divisive about, even within the confines of individuals that are believers. I mean, you have individuals that's getting into deep, long, overblown arguments about joint heirs, and some people have been going all out the way about the Lord's Supper and different things like that, as if it's a divisive type of a factor. You know what I mean? Rather than you understanding the unity that we have in Christ and placing those things in their proper perspective. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, amen. Glory to God, Pastor. It was truly powerful, this teaching today. I'm so overwhelmed with what we read. And ultimately, Romans 15 and 3, which is really, a sentence. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach you fell on me. And the mind of Christ in this age of grace is love. The moment we put our faith in the gospel, we have 0% ability, or like 1% ability of how to use that mind. We don't know how to use this powerful grace tool that will teach us how to do things to give glory to God. It's 100 times important as a doctor learning how to use that scalpel to take that cancer out. Amen. So this mind of Christ causes for me to thank God for giving me the Spirit, giving us the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2 and 12 is definitely something that we're learning. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. How the mind of Christ is freely given to us. We have to learn how to let, when people reproach us and offend us, I have to learn how, okay.